tonight's episode of Side Stage with the IVGO, we talk about the games we hate with special guest Con Thornton.
Yeah, I just lose. I lose too often for my own liking. That's why I just gave up.
Don't worry, there'll be bagels.
The whole podcast is spoilers. It's like all the concerts. Calm down.
Yeah. We're going to get fighting with each other a lot.
Join us tonight.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Side Stage with the IVGU. I am Keith, the sexy one.
Woo!
I'm joined. Oh, dear.
We're off to a good start.
3 seconds in, and we're already off the rails.
I'm just going to make a note to myself, any future episodes, write an intro out, so I don't have to improvise on the spot. Anyway... I am Keith. Hello. I am joined once again by Lisa McCriskin.
Hello.
And Robert Morton.
Hello.
And Shireen Pereira.
Hi.
Oh, okay.
She got it this time.
Yay.
I was about to say, who once again doesn't say hi.
It's only taken 7 episodes.
And we are joined today by a very special guest, Mr. Con Thornton.
Very special. Yay. I doubt that.
Welcome.
You're special to us in our hearts.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
So this episode, we have already talked, I think in the third episode maybe, about games that we absolutely love. Games that just we can't get enough of and just play over and over again. The ones that have the special place in the heaven of our minds. Now we're going to the abysses. We are visiting the Seven Rings of Hell. And we are having a talk about those games which we absolutely hate. So this episode is going to be...
Yeah.
We're going to get fighting with each other a lot.
I'm so excited.
It's going to be good.
It's going to be great. So this is why we... This is why we invited Con, because Con is a very fiery man.
And I can be.
Very dramatic person.
So speaking of Mr. Fiery himself, Mr. Con... Why don't you start us off and tell us your games, and then we can tell you why you're wrong about them.
Yes, let's throw them to the fire right away.
Right. First one is less, I absolutely hate it, more just I don't get it, and I just got bored with it quickly. I'm going to get murdered for this, but it's Smash Bros. Like, I never saw the appeal in it. I never really saw the appeal in it. I just think... I'm really dumb, so I just can't memorize all the controls, and it's just...
This is true.
I know that I have a really chaotic personality, but that's just too chaotic for me, so I just don't get it, really, to be quite honest.
You can button mash.
Yeah, that's kind of the
point. I mean, I've tried that, but that just ends up in me losing. I lose too often.
It definitely breeds chaos, the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're in Smash Bros., who do you normally... players.
Oh god, it's been 6 months since I last played it. Like, I can't remember.
That's not that long.
I played it for like 20 minutes
actually.
And got bored.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, I can get behind that slightly. I'll say if you're playing alone and you don't have or you're not playing multiplayer in any form, even if it's online, yeah, it's kind of repetitive and boring.
Yeah, particularly with the newer games.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the new one, the storyline is just so long and still really confusing to me for some reason.
Storyline?
Yeah, kind of. To be fair, I mean, Smash Ultimate, I have played with myself on the storyline quite a lot.
I'm sure you have.
Thank you for picking that one up. And
the way Robert was giving out earlier.
I've never really played that one on the online multiplayer, mostly because I've heard the online, like, the servers are terrible for it.
That's true.
Also, I have no friends to play it with.
Oh, same.
Also, but, yeah, but I...
I think Robert's throwing his hands up in the air. He's so mad about it.
I mean, I've never...
How have we not done a podcast tournament yet,
guys? Yeah, this is true. That's bad.
Write down the ideas quickly.
Exactly.
As many as you can.
But like, I mean, I haven't played it for ages now, to be fair. But whenever I was playing it, I don't know, I was enjoying it. It wasn't my favourite game, definitely. But it was like a good way to, it was like a time-wasting game, if you know what I mean. Like, I just sort of stick it on. Like, I've got 5-10 minutes to kill. Just stick on a match or whatever and yay, I have won.
That, yeah.
Because I button mashed. unlike you,
that's,
Con.
Yeah, I just lose. I lose too often for my own liking. That's why I just give up. I've no desire.
To be fair, that's the same. Yeah, that's the same reason why I gave up on like the likes of Mortal Kombat and Street Fighter, because I'm not the biggest fan of those kind of fighting games, but Smash Bros. Is probably the only one I've been able to kind of learn the controls of, but maybe that's just because I always play as either Link, Fox, or Toon Link, if he's available.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Actually, no, I do See, remember winning once as Link, so that was my great moment.
I think he's the easiest life. To control.
You gotta use the sword.
I also tend to like playing as Kirby.
Well, Kirby's like the... Kirby being from
Kirby's
the...
Kirby's like the entry...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially from the original game. Like, from the first one, that Kirby was the person to use. Always.
I will keep that in mind whenever I come back to it.
Like, BB's first entry into Smash Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And then how... I mean, we've pretty much covered this, but is there anything else you would do to fix the smash of the bruise?
I think the main thing I would do is just kind of simplify it a little bit, because I mean, as I said, I'm dumb. I need to take time to actually like put the controls into my head.
Aye.
And there were so many for me to try and memorize that I just give up. Like, my brain was fried 20 minutes in.
I mean, I will say that like most people who are playing Smash Brothers have been playing it since like at least the N64 or like GameCube edition. So if you're playing with people,
this guy,
then
Robert
like,
is pointing out how old he is yet again.
I mean, yet again, same.
I remember it coming out.
Yeah, but like you know, so I think it is quite an inaccessible game in that way, because if you're playing with people who've been playing it for the last like renditions of the series,
15 years,
yeah, then it is like it's tough to just like get interested in it. So yeah, I can see that.
Mm-hmm. I actually, whenever I think it was since Melee came out, or Melee, however you want to say it, I actually found my brother had a set of cards for the characters, and if you actually read the back of them, it had the controls and the moves for each character on it. But they didn't have like super moves and stuff in Melee. That sort of came after that. Was that Smash Bros. Wii U?
The bubble.
What was the
thing,
one between that? I can't remember what the name of it was.
Was there Brawl? Was that a thing?
Or
Brawl. Yeah, that was the Wii
that
one.
That was the one.
Brawl was
of,
on
yeah.
the Wii, wasn't it?
I couldn't remember if it was Wii or Wii U. And I remember.
I just love how there was such a. Oh, sorry. I was gonna say I love how there was such a. People just hated the Wii controls so much that they had to put out a way to connect Xbox control, or not Xbox. Yeah. What am I on about? GameCube controllers.
Yeah.
Robert's in my brain right now, just talking about Xbox.
Good times.
And then, Con, do you have any other games that you would like to give a, I don't know, a warning to? I don't know.
Right, I do have one, because I tend to be able to find, like, pretty much the positive aspects in anything, so I find it pretty easy to enjoy myself whenever I'm playing games. However, there was one that I played in, like, maybe whenever I was about 7 or so. It was from the 90s. It was this really obscure game called Omicron the Nomad Soul for the PC. And
okay.
Right. I literally just bought it because I like David Bowie and he's in it and he did the music for it.
Oh,
but
fair.
God, it is such a bad game. Like, the plot is so thin. The controls are really complex. It switches between like a third person and a first person and a side-scrolling perspective every 5 minutes. And it's just... it's just so bad.
that's weird, because I heard that it was very representative of Bowie's work.
Oh god.
And we've already started.
Yeah.
Annoying everyone. Yep.
I'm cracking my knuckles just to get ready.
I've honestly never heard of it, so I have no words.
Stay away from it. I'm not a really.
Okay, fair enough.
I'm not really a PC gamer in general, so like anything that people are like, oh, it's on the PC, I'm like, cool, good for you.
Good for it.
Yeah, same with me.
But yeah, my advice would be just to stay far away from it.
Fair.
Fair enough. Nice.
Well, let us move on to what is potentially going to be one of the more controversial opinions on the podcast, given what the comments have been written beside it on the plan. Robert, tell us about your pet hate.
much like most things that are overblown and are given so much hype, I just like how I don't like Hamilton.
Oh my god.
I don't
god.
Like Undertale.
You're gonna piss off everybody.
You're testing me.
Yeah. I don't like. I didn't like Undertale.
I'm more annoyed about the Hamilton thing, to be honest with you.
To be fair, I just find that annoying. I'm nice. I'm surprised by that, but I'm going to repeat my.
Why are you surprised
that
by that?
Right, which is blasphemy.
Okay. So here's my problem with Undertale. Okay, quiet down. Back on topic. We'll discuss this afterwards. So my problem with Undertale was that. I don't know, I prefer a game that has a very clear plot and story from the beginning. Mm. And with Undertale, it's just very much like, after playing hours of it, I was still confused as to what the heck was going on.
It's very much about, unraveling.
I could not get into it at all.
Yeah.
And then, as much as I do enjoy the music, it is so overplayed to the point where Megalovania is the Stairway to Heaven for nerds.
Oh, duh.
Like any music store you go into, you hear someone going on whatever instrument they can get their hands on, and I'm just sitting there going,
I actually really? Do have a music student really? Who he's one of my singing students, and he actually did come in on like one of his first lessons with me, and I think I was maybe wearing a Ruby t-shirt, or maybe it was a Zelda t-shirt, or I was wearing something that was gamer related, and he was like, oh my god, you play video games, that's so cool. So then we're like talking about that a wee bit while trying to teach him, and then he was like, oh, I can actually play this thing on piano, it's from a game. And I was like, oh this would be cool, be like Zelda's Lullaby or something. Nope, Megalovania.
every time I'm telling you, it is the new Stairway to Heaven, it's the new Freebird. It's annoying.
No, to be fair, see with Undertale,
you're just saying... a hipster, you know. You have to like go with the
how
jump
is that
on
a hipster?
Jump on
no,
that train, you know.
It's like anti-hipster.
No, I tried it. I didn't like it. I'm sorry.
No, I mean with Undertale, it took me about like 4 goes to actually get into it, because like you were saying, Robert, you like a game that's sort of, you know, from the offset what the plot is and that sort of stuff, and it is very slow burning in the sense mm-hmm. of you have like a vague idea of what the plot kind of might be, and then it goes in a completely different direction. You're sort of like, okay, yes, thank you. But it took me ages to actually get up to that point.
Yeah.
But like it's one of the games that once I actually sat down and essentially forced myself through the first bit of it, it's one of my favorite stories in games.
No,
see,
I would agree.
This is the thing. I
honest.
When I first found Undertale, and this is going to show partly my age, but also partly the kind of person I am. The first time I heard about Undertale was on Tumblr. So that was back when it had just come out, and so I saw a lot of story stuff that I didn't actually know it was for Undertale, and I actually only bought it recently because it was on sale for like £4 for Switch. So I was like, fair enough, I'll get it now and have a wee dander into it. But mm-hmm. because I was kind of pre-prepared going into it, I don't have that same experience of being like, I don't know what's happening, this is really confusing, because I know eventually, well, this could happen, yeah. or this is where it's going to lead.
Yeah.
I mean, also, I think it may have also been because I played it on PC.
Mm.
And
oh, okay.
I have a feeling that maybe if I got it on Switch instead, I might enjoy it better, just because I'm so much more of a console gamer when it comes to stuff like that.
Yeah, same.
The only stuff I play on PC are strategy games. Mm. So, I mean, like...
Oh, you're such a nerd.
Like Solitaire?
I know. Side note, I just got Airport CEO, the beta, on Steam for $15, and I am obsessed.
No, Robert, that's not the point of the episode. It's supposed
that
to be
was my side
game.
Note. Going back in. So yeah, like the music is great. It's just, it's so overplayed, and it's been 5 years of this, and I am ready for something new, please.
Who arranged our version of Undertale?
We got ours from Andre Soto, who runs VGO Score online.
Oh, fair enough. I just wasn't sure if we were like being really mean about like somebody's favorite game in the orchestra, being like, oh my god, I wrote the music, I think
I mean,
people would like it.
I mean there are so many people who love that, and it's a good arrangement, I will say that, and it's a fun piece to play. But yeah, and the problem, the like, we've done that piece like a dozen times now. Like,
and it's still great.
I don't know.
Well, here is... Oh, please continue, Mr. Cohn.
No, on Undertale, like, I didn't know what it was about. I only became aware of it because my housemate really liked it. And he was like, oh, okay, you should play this. I really think you'd like it. And I was like, okay, great. So I did play it, and I didn't know what was going on. I just thought it was cute. And then I played it nonstop for about 6 hours, and by the end of it, I was crying. Like, I was...
Yeah.
I was invested in it. It was I really liked it, so that was just my experience.
That sounds like everybody on Tumblr.
Yeah.
I came 5 years too late for that.
Well, in the running theme of Keith is going to annoy everyone on this podcast, if we ever want to retire that Undertale medley, fear not, for yours truly has a Megalovania arrangement, I think, that he's put in.
I remember this.
Fun fact.
No.
I did that arrangement for a project in uni, and the teacher did not like that. That was Karen Parr.
It was Karen.
Yeah.
I remember you talking about this when you were doing it.
Yeah. Because I was just sort of like, right, I don't like this class. I'm just going to do something stupid for it. And thus, Megalovania happened.
We didn't even have to.
Yeah. No. Nah.
Well.
Nah.
Now that I've suitably annoyed two of you, let us move on to Miss Lisa. And please regale us with your tales of hate.
So I'm gonna go along the same lines as what Con said about Smash Brothers, but I'm gonna use a different type of game, which is a shooter. And if anybody doesn't know what this is at this point, have you been living under a rock? It's Call of Duty, which is, there's so much going on. Like, I remember going into, I think it was Modern Warfare 2 at the time, it was the first one I played, and all I could think was, there's too much that you can do with this. Like, at one point, I was like, somebody was like, yes, yeah, so your left stick, you can use it to run, you can use it to vault, you can use it to throw a grenade, you need to do this. And I was like, but it's one stick, and it's also how I walk. So explain to me how I can do all this. Like, a stick should have two options, walk and crouch. Like, that should be it. But the other thing that I find really confused about it is, and I'm sure people will disagree with me on this, but is that there's not really like a central story, if that makes sense, like centered on one character. It's like different campaigns, and yes, there's all these different protagonists, and that all makes sense, and it's different periods in time, and it's a history thing in a way. It's like they don't really deliver. It's like I don't actually get connected to them because I know there's the other side of the story about to happen here. It's like you should be able to have sympathy for one of them and then be really mad at the other one and still get a good game out of it. And it's like, why? No, they're not fleshed out, and they're not, I don't know, I'm going to get very heated talking about that game because I really just don't like it.
No, I would agree. Like, I would definitely agree because I did have a whole period of really getting into it with my dad and my sister whenever we first got it, like, what, 4 or 5 years ago maybe it was. But it just fizzled out for us so quickly. And the story modes were just so, the characters are just paper thin. Like, I couldn't really find a way to get into it.
It's like, there's games like that I really enjoy, like Wolfenstein, which, like, you're obviously invested in one character, you're following his storyline. That's done really, really well. Call of Duty just doesn't do it. On that note,
The difference...
No, go ahead, Keith.
Sorry. The difference between those two games is, like, Call of Duty is multiplayer-focused, so they know...
Yeah.
You know, maybe half
Well, it is
of...
now.
Well, yeah, but, like,
Sorry,
since, say...
carry on, and then I'll dispute all your facts. Just go ahead.
Say, like,
go ahead.
So, like, since... Like, say, around the first Modern Warfare... Because there's been another Modern Warfare, which is also called Call of Duty Modern Warfare.
Yeah.
Thanks, naming. But since that was when, like, the online gaming and everything, I think, really took off. So that's when they sort of started not paying too much attention to the stories. And, like, I'm not saying, you know, like, the Modern Warfare trilogy has a brilliant story, in my opinion. And then the first Black Ops is pretty good as well. And I think the more recent Modern Warfare, yeah, that's a good story as well. But because they are all really focused on the multiplayer, not as much, you know, sort of attention goes into the story.
Yeah.
Whereas the likes of, especially the recent Wolfensteins, they are very, I mean, they're only single player games, aren't they?
Yeah. No, here's the thing that I'm sort of starting to find. Like, do any of the Call of Duties, like Black Ops, Modern Warfare, or the original ones, do any of them interlink at any point?
I don't believe so.
I don't think so. I think they're all supposed to be different storylines.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, Modern Warfare 1, 2, and 3 are like the same story, and then I think technically the Black Ops games are the same, if not like the same continuing story, it's like the same characters or the same sort of like the pick up threads of the previous stories, if you know, but like, yeah, it's like sort of completely different storylines between the two.
Yeah, see, this is why.
You know what I mean?
I'm going to focus in on another series here now, then a particular game, which is Assassin's Creed, which is going to start off by saying, I know that's a little bit controversial, I actually do love the Assassin's Creed series, but they have like this interweaving narrative the whole way, and I know in later games it's kind of got a bit fast and loose with how they're working with it, but the one that I felt lacked the most was Assassin's Creed 3. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say there's probably a lot of people who actually agree with me on that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good in that game because I thought like the mechanics were much better. The free running and stuff made it a lot faster. But I found every time that I took a break from the game, I was very, very lost coming back in because there was no way for me to like look back at what I'd done or find out what quests are related to what part of the game. And it just felt kind of laborious. Like, I was constantly trying to find stuff out. They opened that game really well with Haytham Kenway and being like, here's this guy who's doing all this assassiny stuff and now he's a Templar, and it's like a big turn on its head. It was such a good way to do it. But he's the only character that has, like, any substance, and you kill him.
Well, that's spoilers, Flip.
Exactly.
Don't worry, there'll be a big old spoiler. The
whole
game,
the whole podcast is spoilers. It's like all of our concerts. Calm down.
Pretty much, yeah. Like, there's no episode, I don't think, where we haven't spoiled something anyway.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
But I was like, this guy's, I don't need a redemption arc for him, but imagine if he was in, like, the next game. I was like, you could have brought him back and done so much with him, and he's like this big villain at the start of the next game still, but nope. Totally wasted.
Yeah.
Absolute waste of time.
No, I mean, Assassin's Creed 3 for me is possibly the worst one in the series, maybe except for Syndicate. I really didn't like that one.
Really?
Yeah, that one, yeah, it was just after Unity. That one just felt like a Unity reskin for me. Like,
oh, well, see, I never played Unity, so Syndicate was kind of my end on those ones. And I thought it was really cool, the back and forth between the characters, because I thought Unity, you played as one, but you could multiplayer it, and that made no sense to me as an Assassin's Creed game, but maybe that's just my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, the multiplayer was just there for multiplayer's sake. Like, oh, you can play with friends. We're like other games, play us.
Imagine having friends.
No, I get what you mean. Like, it didn't sort of fit in with the context of the actual overall story or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, Assassin's Creed 3, that for me was just, it just wasn't, like running around, like you said there, the free running, the improvements made for that, so you're like, you were going through the trees and everything, that was fun. And then you got to the story, which for me was just boring.
Yeah.
And like, I completely agree with you, like playing as, I've forgotten his name, Haytham, you, like, that is the best part of the story, and he's the best character as well whenever you switch over to Connor. But whenever you go to Connor, he is just... It is Connor, isn't it? I haven't played him for ages.
There's no character in him, like...
Yeah, he's just not good. And then, as well as that, the modern part of that, like whenever you're playing as Desmond and all...
Oh, God.
Okay, I'm one of the few people, I think, who enjoyed the modern parts of the Assassin's Creed series. Like, whenever I first got the first one... And it started off, you know, you're in Abstergo, on the, like, with the doctor or whatever.
Yeah.
I was sitting there like, this is not what I expected, but I am very much into it.
Yeah, it was cool because you got to see, like, this build-up of what Abstergo was.
Mm. Yeah. But then in Assassin's Creed 3, that's when I think it started, like, it really started to go downhill in terms of, like, the modern parts of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think, actually, no, for, what was it, Assassin's Creed Revelations, that was the last one with Ezio, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was confusing in the modern sections, but it didn't annoy me as much as Assassin's Creed 3 did, because at least it was kind of, like, each sort of modern day level was slightly different in a way. Mm-hmm. You were kind of doing the same thing, but
no, that's fair.
You learned more about characters and stuff there. You learned more about Subject 16. Like, it was kind, you had a bit of an investment in it. In Assassin's Creed 3, it just felt like, go to here. Here's a point. Sean's going to shout at you about something. And I can't remember the girl's name now, but she, is it Rebecca?
That sounds familiar, yeah.
I know, but I can't remember. Yes, because the other girl was Lucy. Rebecca's like, oh no, leave him alone, he's doing whatever. And then your dad's just being an asshole. It's like,
oh yeah, his dad's in there.
Yeah. I can't remember what his name is, but he actually, this is spoilers, but Odyssey's out now, so I don't care. At the end of Origins, he does make a comeback, but it's like so sidelined in, it feels like it comes out of nowhere.
Yeah, like it's been sort of, because he had sort of, he was almost like a minor character in, you know, the games where he was pretty much a main character. Whenever he came back after, like, essentially no talk of Desmond or any of those for a couple of games, you're just sort of like, ah, who are you, sir? Please tell me.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and then isn't that the one where, again, spoilers, Desmond gets killed at the end?
Yeah. And there was a whole thing about that that goes into Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag, which actually didn't bother me as much.
That one, that was just pirates. I really enjoyed that one.
It was good. Like, they actually, all the boat sequences and that were actually really well done. But the one thing that...
And then they had boat stealth.
Yeah, it's like, cause obviously Assassin's Creed 3 introduced the boat, but it just wasn't utilised well. It was like, you're in America, so you're only going from, like, shoreline to shoreline. Like, whereas in Black Flag, it's like, oh, you're going to all these islands, and it's really cool. There was just, I feel like Assassin's Creed 3, it shoehorned a lot of stuff in. It's like, we're changing up the game, we're changing up the settings, we're changing up your character development. Here's different skill trees to work on. It wasn't just, like, step, 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 step. But there wasn't a way to level grind, really, unless you wanted to sit and just, like, try and make weapons forever. There was really, I found it really hard to find quests and the right markers on maps in that one, because they added too many different little keys for it. And if you got lost, you had to try and use that map. Now, you can, whoever, somebody in the comments can correct me if the remastered version has added this and all in. But you know the way, like, in Origins, it was like you could get your horse, or your camel in that case, to follow the road. Or you could get the quest, like the actual mapping where it gave you a line to follow.
Mm-hmm.
That made it so much better. And if, like, basically if I could remake Assassin's Creed 3 properly, I would just use Origins engine, because I think it took everything from Assassin's Creed 3 and made it better.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that the other three do not have much to say about Assassin's Creed, because
I haven't played it, so I don't care.
The only experience I have with it is my sister playing it.
I've only played Odyssey, and I really, really enjoyed it, but I suppose for me, like, I didn't like the modern parts at all. Like, I just kept wanting it to go back to ancient Greece, because obviously I hadn't played the other games, so I was very like, what's going on? But yeah, that's the only
thing about the games that kind of sucks, is that you can't just kind of hop in and get, like, a recap of everything that's going on. So particularly people jumping in at new ones, like, I've been playing it since the first one came out. The only one I actually haven't played was Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, but
that's the one of the best ones.
I've heard that. And apparently the actual modern day levels of that ones are actually really good.
I actually can't remember, so I'm going to say yes.
Yeah, no, apparently it was quite good. I'm saying that, like, I like Assassin's Creed, but I'm kind of done with the series at this point. It's like, I have Odyssey on my Xbox. I jumped in, did a wee bit, but I don't really have a need for it now. I kind of pumped a lot of time into Origins, so I'm kind of done now. It was like, once I got the revelations, I was like, right, Ezio's gone. I'll try Assassin's Creed 3. That didn't go well.
Yeah.
Black Flag. Played that. Loved it. Didn't play Unity. Played Syndicate. Liked it. Still think it's a good game, but wouldn't be my favorite. And then Origins. And Origins has kind of peaked it for me, because it was took like things from all the games and just made it better for me. And then when I heard Odyssey, all the controversial opinions about Odyssey, I was just kind of done with it at that point.
No, I don't think, I mean, we've got the new one, Valhalla, coming out slash already out by the time this podcast. I don't know what the date for it is. Let us know in the comments below. But yeah, I think I'm the same as you. I'm probably not going to bother with that one.
Yeah.
Or at least until it gets very cheap. Because like, I did enjoy Odyssey, but it is a massive time sink. Like,
yeah.
Like, you know, people are saying, ooh, how
Valhalla comes out on November 10th.
Thank you. This will
You're welcome.
It will be out before this podcast, I think.
Just about.
Yeah.
Yes.
But yes. Do you have any other games, Lisa, you want to sort of spin
on? I do want to make one honorary mention. And that honorary mention, I think most people will agree. And no matter what I say here, there was no fixing this game. And it was Sonic the Hedgehog 2006. That game is a travesty from start to end. I don't really know how else to defend it. And I love how it was supposed to be a reboot of the series, because they just named it Sonic the Hedgehog. Like, this is a big new game. No, it was terrible.
Yeah.
The one thing that I got really annoyed about that was Jason Griffiths was the voice of Sonic in that one. I think he was from after Sonic Heroes, maybe. And that was like his first game, and it like ruined every game after it. Because it never really recovered from the travesty that was Sonic 06. So, like, I think is one of the best Sonic voices. Maybe people can disagree with me. And all of his games just didn't do it justice for him. So now that's the only thing that really, really annoyed me about that game. In hindsight, because playing it, I remember playing it at the time and actually thinking, "Oh yeah, a new Sonic game, 2006." But yeah, it's kind of heroically bad.
I remember the first IVGO gig I went to was QCon 2018, and I remember Keith, you were conducting Sonic the Hedgehog medley, I think it was, and you happened to bring up
that's the big Sonic, Sega one.
You happened to bring up Sonic 06, and I was like, I wonder why everyone thinks this is so bad. So I went home and played it. And
then you found out why.
Yeah, immediately. It was an experience I don't wish to read it.
I had to do some quick maths there to try and work out. I was actually 11 when that game came out, which is probably why at the time I thought it was pretty cool, because it was like, oh yeah, a new Sonic game, and it was like all the modern, starting to modernize the graphics and stuff, which is probably why I was like, oh, this game's so cool. When I look back at it now, yeah, I did say this pre-podcast, the only good thing about that game is the song His World by Zebrahead. It's right. Literally the only good part about that game.
Yeah.
No, I played it whenever.
That's one to add for the orchestra's repertoire.
I was 19 when I played it, and it was like experiencing the highest form of pain possible.
Oh dear. You were saying there, Colin, we played at the QCon gig, and I remember one of my really like spiel before we played this was like, oh, little baby Keith went and bought Sonic 06 for full price.
That was
little baby Keith never recovered.
That was right, that was it.
Here's a fun fact for everyone listening. I've never played that game. I've hardly ever played a Sonic game. That was all a lie for humour. Everything I say on stage is a lie. You know nothing about me. I am an enigma. Anyway, that's out of my system.
And that's how Keith got fired.
Yep.
But yeah, no, I have watched a YouTuber play it through. It was one of the YouTubers we were talking about last week. No, it was actually Nerdcubed. I think I mentioned last week, maybe. He had this video series, called Nerdcubed's Hell. And right. He would play, basically every episode was like, you know, 20 minutes of just the worst games he could find. So he'd had, like, you know, Goat Simulator.
Oh no, I love Goat Simulator. You can't shit on Goat Simulator.
Is it real? No, I thought people brought it up as a joke.
To be fair, I enjoy Goat Simulator, but he's one of these people like, oh, games shouldn't be a joke, games should be art.
Right.
But he did Sonic 06, a video on that, and he said at the end of that video, I can't remember what his thing is, but you know, for sake of arguments, he said, like, if I get X amount of subscribers by this date, I will do a complete series on this game. And he got the subscribers in like a week. So he had to do it, and it's so fun watching it from the very start and just watching him descend into madness as it goes on.
No, if you enjoyed that, you need to watch Game Grumps version of it, because it's maybe the funniest thing. It actually gives me anxiety watching it, because Aaron freaks out so much. But it is actually absolutely hilarious. I don't think they actually ever finished it. It was that bad to them.
Yeah. Oh, I'll have to look that one up.
As I was saying before we recorded, just for the audience if they're interested, Penny Parker's dub of the cinematic scenes from Sonic 06 is literal art. It is incredible.
Anyway.
So let us bring it round to the ray of light that is in our
just
group.
Just a...
Ooh, ray of light is speaking. Please continue.
No, I was just going to say that I actually tried out one of the newer... I think it's the newest Sonic game that came out on PS4. I actually rented the game from the library. It's called Sonic Forces.
Why is Sonic on a PlayStation game? What?
Well, Sonic Forces is not positive, I will say.
I've seen it.
Oh, that is awful. Yeah, I only played it because it was free on PlayStation Plus 1 month. So I thought, you know what? I've got nothing to do. Let's play this as just for the whole joke of it all. And I just wanted to tear off my eyes. It was not good.
Yeah.
Robert, I'm going to go out on a limb and say you're also not really a Sonic player, because you've been a little bit quiet.
Listen, I haven't played a Sonic game since Sonic 2 on Sega Genesis.
Wow.
Sorry, Mega Drive for you people.
Yes.
You are old, Flip.
Yeah, I'm old.
Sonic
and
Heroes
that game was wonderful.
On GameCube was fantastic.
Solid game.
Yeah. Did you play it?
Yeah.
It's my first PS2
so
game.
So good.
It's
so good.
One of the first Sonic games I actually finished start to, like, all the storylines, all the final story. It was one of
okay,
the
we've spent 20 minutes on Sonic. Let's move on.
Shadow, he's so attractive.
Excuse me?
And this is why we have furries. All right. Moving on, Shireen.
Well,
God.
He's so cool.
He's so attractive.
This is it, folks. This is a podcast.
Oh, no.
Episode 8.
I really wasn't expecting that.
There are tears streaming down my face.
So Keith is indisposed. So, Shireen, let's try and recover here. And why don't you tell us about the Instagram post that you had some questions from?
Absolutely.
Or questions. Talk about Instagram.
Okay. So, we took some questions to our Instagram fans and asked them any games that they found disappointing. And we've got a few answers here, so I'm going to go through them and we can discuss. So, we've got FIFA. Didn't say a number.
Oh, fair enough.
So, I think they just mean...
Just the series in general.
That's a very
down
odd
with
point.
Football.
Exactly.
I don't know if anyone has a contra argument to that.
The only thing I can
no,
say
it's
about
the same
FIFA
thing.
Yeah.
Every year.
Yeah.
It's like the only thing I can say about it is there was years and years where, like, obviously one came out every year where my brother and I sort of just, well, he beat me, but we had a system where it was like if you scored 10
But what about the game?
What, it's a football game. Like, I don't know how else to describe it. Like, it's, I had no interest. But we had a rule which was, and I think this is like a well-known thing, which is like every 10, if you, they score 10 goals against you, you have to post a Facebook apology.
Oh my god.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's legitimately a thing. So like every week, I was like, my apologies to Kevin McChrystigan for being an awful FIFA 2009 player. You know
that
what I mean?
Peak, like, 2009 Facebook content.
Yeah, exactly.
Let me tell you though, Sonic 06 is what FIFA 06 dreams to be.
I mean, FIFA 06 doesn't have Shadow, so I may also really start to move on.
Dream won't like
I'm
it.
Not going to play it. I know.
Wait, hold on, real quick though. Did Mario versus Sonic Olympics have Shadow or whatever that game was?
I think it did.
I think it did. Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah.
There's your equivalent.
Yeah. Guess I gotta go out and get that now.
You know, there's a full-on Shadow the Hedgehog game. He has his own.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I'm aware.
Khan's like, I
have
it.
Didn't that come out after Sonic Heroes?
I think it may have done.
I think it was like just before Sonic 06, which is the beginning.
This is not a Sonic podcast.
This is the beginning of the downward spiral.
Sonic.
Is this going to be in the blooper reel?
Sorry.
This is going to be in the actual podcast.
The blooper reel is us laughing for 10 minutes.
Okay, other responses? Did we have more than one response? Yes, surprisingly. okay, so I'll just list out a few here. Pac-Man World on PS1.
Oh.
Mario Maker.
Mm-hmm.
Mass Effect.
Oh, no, I don't agree. Absolutely taking that person down.
Portal 2.
No. Oh, no.
That's going down too.
Kingdom Hearts 3, yeah, I'd probably take that person.
Here's some hot takes. Down as
well. Yeah.
So we all have our targets.
Yeah. Shireen's going to provide us with the usernames after this.
This whole section is just literally who we're about to take down.
Yeah.
Halo.
I feel like it should be a regular section.
Exactly.
No,
BioShock,
we should be supporting
Infinite.
Our viewers.
Oh, Pokemon Black and White. Wow.
No.
Okay, seeing as Con got so heated about that one, I like Black and White. Can I tell you a Pokemon game that, not that it's less of a dislike, more of a, it didn't do enough for me? Sun and Moon.
That's valid, I guess.
Okay.
I kind of like the Black and White. Wait, hold on.
Hold on, they made Pokemon after Red and Blue.
No, I can.
Robert's just trying to let people know he's old now. Is that why you dyed your hair blonde to pretend it was going grey?
Listen here, you little shit.
I missed that.
Sorry, I had to get one in.
I would agree, but
I want that bleeped.
Pokemon is the underground animal fight club of the FIFA games. It's just the same game every time with slightly more animals to fight.
Can I put a more positive spin on it?
To be honest.
I don't know, can you?
But he's got a new hat.
Because my brother once described it, and I think this is pretty good, as baby's first JRPG. So it's like everybody's entry into the world of JRPGs.
Fair. Yeah, that's fair.
Okay, yeah.
I would agree about Sun and Moon. That's pretty valid, but I will not tolerate any Black and White slander because that was.
I did like Black and White.
It was great. I loved it.
Yeah.
The sequels were better.
I think everybody has a Pokemon game where it's like, nah, it was alright. Like, it's kind of got to the stage now when some people say, like, you've played enough of them, you know how it goes. But if you're going into it with the aspect of, oh, I'm looking for great plot and stuff like that, of course you're not going to enjoy it. The whole point is to go out and catch and train Pokemon. Like, it's baby's first RPG. JRPG,
although,
sorry.
If you're doing black and white, you're going in for a great plot, to be fair.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember the Ferris wheel with M?
It was, that was, I thought I forgot about that. Apparently not.
God, had some good memories there.
Oh, okay.
We also asked...
with Shadow?
What question... God has left the chat. What music did you enjoy from a game you like haven't played or did not like? A lot of people came back with Final Fantasy that either they haven't played like a specific game in the series or haven't really played Final Fantasy, but absolutely love the music.
I think, I know somebody's about to disagree with me here, but I think it's quite hard to not find at least one Final Fantasy track that you don't like.
That yeah. you don't like?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's like, hard to find.
Wait, ask that question again?
Okay, it's hard to find.
It wasn't really a question, it was a statement.
Yeah.
I agree.
It was a statement of fact. It's like, I've only ever played Final Fantasy 15 and loved it. Great game, loved the music. Yeah. When I started going back through the series and listening to like other music from different games, there hasn't been a single piece that I haven't liked.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, yeah, I would agree. Yeah.
I'm working that sorry. In my brain.
Sorry, I know. I'm still recovering from laughing.
Yeah, no, it's definitely one of the best, like, consistent soundtracks, I would say, through all of its games.
Definitely.
Yeah,
definitely.
I did hear somebody say in the polls or the comments, Shireen, that they didn't like The Last of Us 2.
Yeah.
I would now like to go to somebody who has mentioned his dislike for this game before, which is Mr. Keith Milligan.
Right. So.
Here we go. Brace yourselves.
Okay. So, the original Last of Us is one of my favourite games. It's like, in terms of its gameplay, its graphics at the still now, to be fair, but especially at the time, it was one of the best looking games. Soundtrack, blah 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 blah, it was all amazing. And then just the way it ended with this is the original game, where Joel had taken Ellie away from the Fireflies. He'd killed all the Fireflies basically, and just lied to her, saying, you know, they couldn't find a cure, sorry kid. Just because he wanted to keep having like a surrogate daughter was just amazing. And then they went and ruined it with Last of Us 2, it has possibly, like, take away the story, it is possibly one of the best games I've ever played. Like, again, in terms of graphics, its gameplay, you know, it's so, you know, smooth to play, everything's so responsive. Like, the combat is fun, even though they try to make it not fun, which is something I'm going to rant about, possibly, but we will see what happens. And just, I mean, the graphics, it looks, like, photorealistic. It's incredible. Mm-hmm. And then the story happens. And folks, let me tell you, the story should not have happened. For anyone listening, this is where we're going to go very spoilery. So, yeah, I don't know, skip ahead or something.
Keith, keep it under 4 minutes.
It's not going to be that. So, very beginning, Joel gets killed. Big spoiler right off the bat. And it's the type of thing you were expecting it to happen. So it's, you know, it's fine. It's not like it was a big surprise, if that makes sense. But it's like how they did it. It was just sort of, okay, he's dead now. Goodbye. And it's like, okay, he was the main character and now you've just sort of tossed him aside.
Okay. Like, I can kind of understand that. And,
yeah. Well, it was like, so, I mean, that was, I was sort of okay with that because it was sort of like they were going, oh, this is a cruel world. And we're like, okay, I will go with you on this one. And you go through the whole thing. You play as Ellie. She goes to Seattle to try to find the people who, you know, killed Joel. And you're going grand. And you get to about like 15, 16 hours in. You've basically taken down everyone but the ringleader of the people who killed Joel. And then you essentially just get talked down. You're like, okay, too many people have died here. You've sort of gone off the edge. Let's just go back home. And she says, okay. And then she drops her map, which has her, like, their hideout location, right in the place where the big ringleader person is going to find it. Because why? Ugh. Okay. And then,
oh, we're getting heated
then,
over here.
Then ringleader shows up at Ellie's hideout. And you're like, oh no, big moment of tension. This is where the game is going to, like, you know, that's the big climax of the game. Then you go back. You have to play for 15 to 16 more hours as the ringleader person, as they basically make you, you know, feel sorry for her. And it's the whole story of, you know, these people are real. They have feelings. You know, you should feel bad about killing them. And, like, that's the whole thing with the combat as well, because they had this whole mechanic where whenever you kill someone, someone else will shout out their name.
Okay.
So, you know, you shoot someone dead, you hide in the bushes, someone then shouts over, oh no, Con is dead.
Sorry, and Con.
That's not the first time I've heard that, surprisingly. Won't be the last.
Oh dear.
good lord.
And it's just, it got to the stage where they only had, like, a limited amount of names they could use, so the amount of people called Alan that I killed, it got funny after a while.
Mm.
But, like, you're sort of like, okay, stop trying to make me feel bad for this whenever you make it so fun to actually play. You know, it's a game, it's supposed to be fun. Yeah. Like, if it was real life, maybe I would feel bad about killing the people, but this is not real life, so I don't have to think about that.
Can I state two games? I was going to say one, but another one just pops into my head that kind of does the play and is the bad guy well, even for short sections. Well, the first one, I think, is Halo 2, which is you're playing as the Arbiter, who essentially is, at that point, Chief's number one enemy, and develops his character and develops the Elite's character and stuff like that. Done absolutely superbly. But another game where you just straight up play as the villain, and I don't care if this is spoilers or not, again, the game's been out for years, Arkham Knight, the end of Arkham Knight, when you actually swap and
Joker.
You play as the Joker, because it's like the Batman game that people are like, oh, you should make a Batman game where he's like actually killing people, and it's like, no, that's not the point of Batman, and this is why, and it's actually showing you why it's a character development thing. I think that's the only game that I think does that well, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, it's the type of thing, like, there, even in the Arkham Knight bit, there was no doubt that, you know, like, you're playing as the bad guy, you're playing as Joker.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't trying to tell you, oh, actually, Joker is a good guy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He's just a misunderstood soul. Whereas in The Last of Us 2, you sort of had, like, the reason why, you know, these people came from Seattle to kill Joel was because at the end of the first game, Joel killed Abby, who, she's the ringleader of the group, killed Abby's dad. You sort of have that whole, so you have the whole, like, okay, so he had it coming, and you're like, okay, fair enough. I can see where they were going with it, I just didn't like how they did it, if that makes sense. But then, you know, skipping to the end, I just hit my mic out of pure anger. You skip to the end, you get to the epilogue, which, you know, you get to the epilogue, you think, okay, I'm near the end here, like half an hour at most. 2 hours! It's an epilogue!
Yeah, that's a little excessive.
And it gets to the very end, basically Abby and Ellie meet for the final time. Abby's been basically beaten down for months, like she's been held hostage, essentially. Ellie, you know, basically frees her and is like, okay, we're going to fight now. They fight. And then Ellie's like, actually, you know what? I'm going to let you go. And she just goes, and that's it. And sort of, it's again the idea of, you know, like stopping the cycle of hatred or that sort of thing, which again, I like what they were going for. But at the end of a 45-hour game, I sort of want something to show for it rather than the character saying, nah, I don't want this anymore, bye-bye.
Yeah, fair.
You know?
I kind of understand that, like, as a plot thing, but it does make it quite hard as a player to get satisfaction at the end of the game.
It's the type of thing, it would work so much better as, like, a 2-hour movie, I think.
Mm. Yeah.
Because, you know, like, you're not actually interacting with it, so you're not I can't think of the word, but like you're not as invested in it as you would be because it's only 2 hours and you're not the one actually doing the stuff. Mm. Whereas like The Last of Us, you know, that's a 45-hour game that I've spent, you know, what, 45 hours on just for the choice to be taken, like, for me, saying, actually, you know what, this isn't going to happen. That just, yeah, I don't know, it left a big old bad taste in my mouth.
Okay.
As you can probably tell by the massive rant that I just had.
I was about to say, you've made my editing of this episode really easy because I don't have to cut to anyone else for like 20 minutes there.
I feel so much better getting that out. That's just been building up.
The people who want to miss the spoilers are really going to have to skip forward for this.
Yeah. I'm sorry, people. Welcome back, folks.
Oh my god, that was 10 minutes long. You have anything else, Keith?
Yeah, so I've got two more, which I'm just going to say to annoy the rest of you.
Yeah. Here we go.
Oh, yeah.
So, let's start with annoying Lisa. Oblivion sucks.
Nope, you're wrong.
That was one of the first games I bought whenever I got my 360.
Well, that's why.
It was one of the first games that came out.
Yeah, so like I'd been told, oh, this game's amazing, you know, you have to play it, it's so good. And then I was playing it and I noticed that whenever you jump, your stamina goes down, and that was like straight away what turned me off it. But like that's there, literally
there is literally a perk that you can get. Even in Oblivion, you can get it to a certain stage that doesn't happen. So well, I can't accept that.
I know, it was just as well, like, at that stage, I wasn't really into that type of genre of games and stuff.
Okay, that is, so, like whenever, my genre.
Yeah, so, like, whenever Skyrim came out, it took me, same with Undertale, it took me a couple of times to actually get into it. But whenever I actually got into it, I absolutely loved it. You know, like basically it took everything that I didn't like from Oblivion and just made it amazing, you know? So yes, please don't hate me too much.
I'm still gonna hate you, but anyway.
Yeah, that's fair. That is understandable, to be honest. Now we come to the rest of you.
Oh no.
Breath of the Wild is terrible.
No.
You can go fuck yourself.
No. Keith, I will slap you in the teeth.
I'll slap you in the tits.
I'm actually surprised you specifically said Breath of the Wild, because I know you just don't like Zelda in general.
See, to be fair, I've never played any other Zelda games, so I just sort of associate my hatred for one with the rest, but for the sake of this podcast, I'm just sort of
trying to piss everybody off.
Give us your reasons. Give us your reasons so we can tell you to fuck off.
Give us your reasons and I will tell you why you're wrong.
So for me, it's the type of thing. It is objectively a good game. Like, I'm not going to deny that. Like, the game mechanics, everything there is, it works. It's very good. I can see why people like it. But it's just not for me. It's like, you do the tutorial bit, and that's grand, and you get to sort of the main bit, and you're sort of like, okay, here are the, here's the one main thing you have to go. You have to go kill or defeat Ganon. And then here's the four things you can go to, you know, help you do that. And, like, that's all you get, basically. So, for me, sort of like, it just gave you too much freedom.
That's literally the point of the game, though.
Yeah, I know, and it's not for me, so,
Go place, you know what?
Okay. Robert's going to try and find the benefit of the doubt here.
No, not benefit of the doubt, more of an explanation of why they did that. Their big release before that on a console game was Skyward Sword, wasn't it?
Yes.
Someone tell me if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Where they had no freedom. The game was completely linear.
Yeah,
right?
Really.
And real open world. Yeah. So it was probably an overcorrection from that.
Yeah,
but even then, the whole idea was to give it a different feel. I mean, it is a beautiful version of escapism that we've only really seen since then in Animal Crossing, and only because we're all in quarantine.
Con is like finger gunning for that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And I think also just it's what people who have been playing that series for years and years have been craving is a much bigger world to explore.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. where I think the last big world that was like that was Twilight Princess. And even then, you had to unlock different areas, which is kind of dumb if you think about it. This is more of like a realistic approach of like, you can go anywhere. You can go anywhere in the world. Like, real life isn't like, oh, you have to unlock, you have to get to level 30 before you can go downtown. You know, that's not a thing.
And like the whole start of it, the reason it's like, get defeat Ganon, big quest, always in your quest box. It's like, you can go and do that with no clothes on and whatever stick you have in your hand. Like, you can go straight to it. You don't have to wait. And I know people do that as like a speed running thing, but like, you would never do it because it would take a lot of like work to try and defeat the game that way. But it's kind of the point of the game. It's like, here is your end goal. How are you getting there? And it gives you the freedom to kind of do it in your own order and the way that you want to play it, even though at the end of the day, there is a plot to follow and certain stages you have to do.
Mm-hmm. No, it seems to me, it's like, I mean, again, it's the type of thing, especially with the context there of it being following that really linear one. I can understand how people like it. It's not like a type of game where I'm going to say, oh, I'm right and you're wrong, because I'm definitely in the minority for this one. But it seems like one of those games where, like, there was a big craze of them, where it's basically, here's an open world, go make your own story. So it has almost like, you know, it does have the plot points, but they're almost like quite, I don't want to say they're quite threadbare, because once you get into them, there is stuff there. But it's very much a case of, like, you know, with those Lord of the Rings games, for example, the Shadow of Mordor, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
They had that nemesis system. So it was like, the whole idea of it was you'd go into that open world, you'd basically make your own enemies, make your own allies and that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like, that was the whole idea, you make your own story. That's, to me, what Zelda kind of is, Breath of the Wild kind of is, where you're sort of like, oh, I went to this shrine and this was how I solved it. And you see, like, you know, you see on YouTube and Reddit and all that sort of stuff, all these really creative ways that people have solved, you know, different shrines, which is cool to watch, but I can't be bothered figuring it out. So, but yeah, I don't know, for me, it's sort of like, I can definitely see the appeal, but it's just not my kind of thing.
I'd kind of like you to go back now and play Skyward Sword and see if it changes, like, your opinion of, like, the franchise in general, because it is so linear. Or to go back and do, like, maybe Wind Waker or something.
No, like, the older ones especially, like, Ocarina of Time, that's one I really want to play. That's the big moon one, isn't
it? Yeah, no.
Majora's Mask is the moon one.
No, that's Majora's Mask. Majora's Mask.
Which is better than Ocarina of Time.
Anyway. Okay. Well, anyway, big moon one.
I
feel like we need a whole episode for, like,
I think it's a nice continuation from Ocarina of Time.
I just like the darker story now. That's all.
It kind of comes out of nowhere.
Khan is a dark soul.
The whole idea of Breath of the Wild being completely free and you having the freedom to, like, just go and beat Ganon immediately, like, not only is it an incredible feat to finish Breath of the Wild in 40 minutes, but it's also excellent in the context of the game, because, like, you have this big dark beast that has been culminating all his power for 100 years just to be beaten by this twink that woke up in a cave 40 minutes ago, legs it to the castle, and with a sword he found along the way.
I really want to have a wee twink in there.
That is just excellent to me. That is just an amazing image to me.
That's amazing.
Anyway.
Is there anything else we have to cover in this one?
Keith, you're the host, you tell me.
The orchestra.
Yeah, I know, I'm looking here. Yeah.
Do you want to do that, or is this episode too long already?
Let's just do very quick fire.
Okay.
So, where is it on the plan? I don't know. It's on the other side.
I really hope we still have listeners after, like...
quickfire, Colin, tell us music that we play in the orchestra, but from a game you hate, go.
From a game I hate, it's hard to say, but I would say from a game that I haven't played, it'd be more accurate, I would say probably Overwatch and Splatoon, because I haven't really played either of them. They don't really appeal to me that much, but the music is just excellent for both, I think.
Fair enough. That was good. Quickfire, Robert, same question. Go.
Undertale and Final Fantasy.
Okay, I will accept your answer.
I haven't played any of the Final Fantasy games, but the music's brilliant.
Exactly. Yeah, fair enough. Quickfire, Lisa, go.
World of Warcraft, because I'm really not into those kind of MMOs, but the music from the QCon concert that we played, stellar. And I also agree, Overwatch, it's the only game like that that I actually enjoy is Destiny and Destiny 2. But the music really makes me want to play Overwatch.
I would agree.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Shireen, quickfire, go.
Yeah. Castlevania is obviously a real cult classic. Not quite my style, but the music is really amazing. Maybe Metal Gear Solid as well. I haven't played, but the music is just insane. Yeah, probably one of my favorite
series
for video game music.
Yeah.
I would agree.
And then Keith, quickfire, go. Yeah, I would say Metal Gear as well, especially that... Not Snake Eater, what's the one, the full orchestra one we do?
Metal Gear 4, I think it was. Can't remember the name of it.
Yeah, I think so. We all know which one we're meaning anyway. That one's very good. But Metal Gear is one of those games where if you haven't been playing it from the beginning, you're just screwed. So I've never gotten into it. And then also,
I've wanted to just because of the music, actually. But yeah.
No, definitely. And then my first year of being in the orchestra, we were playing the Breath of the Wild E3 trailer music, which I really liked. But even like going past that, the overture from the Symphony of the Goddesses is just, that is the way to start a concert. I think that is absolutely incredible.
I can barely play it.
But like just...
God, I love it.
The Zelda...
That's because the piano part's a harp part.
I do the violin bit, and I'm too bad. I'm a really bad violin player.
Aww.
And this is how Colin gets fired from the orchestra.
Yeah.
No, we just keep pushing him towards the back. It's fine.
Yeah.
We need the bodies. It's fine.
Right, well, I think that about wraps us up. Does anyone have anything they want to add?
Don't play Sonic 06.
Don't play Omicron the Nomad.
Tell us your games that you don't like
in the comments.
Where should they tell us?
In just the comments.
Send a pigeon in.
On YouTube.
Oh, you know what we should do before we go?
And one last thought, Shadow the Hedgehog. Oh, God.
Before we go, though, hey, Con, plug. Con.
Yes.
Can you plug your. Plug your stuff before we go.
I have a gig next Friday that'll be completely irrelevant by the time this podcast goes on. It'll be like 2 months.
Very much so.
Yeah, but despite that, I have an EP on Spotify called Abraham's Daughter, which you can listen to on actually all major streaming services other than Spotify. And yeah, that's all I really have to say.
Spotify is crap.
I only got it on there just for the exposure.
Shout out to our Spotify listeners.
Do we have Spotify listeners?
Probably not, but shout out to them anyway.
We love
you.
I
think I'm one of the Spotify listeners.
Well, I think
Go listen to Con, everyone.
Yes, go listen to Con. We'll stick links to everything in the description. If we remember, but we will remember.
I will.
Check Mr. Con out.
Thank you.
Yes, thank
Please
you.
Check me out. I need money.
Hey, his EP is on Apple Music.
Oh, is it? I forgot about it.
Yes, it is. I'm going to go ahead and add that.
Thank you.
There's that for the drive to work later.
Well, if you've managed to stick through all of that, which just did happen... thank you very much for listening, Mum and Dad. please let us know how much you disagree with us in the comments, and let me know how right I am about Breath of the Wild, because that sucks. And yeah, we will see you next week.
You will see
And thank you very much again to Mr. Oh.
Lisa's coming to kill
Well, thank
kill
you
him.
To Colin anyway.
Amazing. Thank you. Thank you. This was interesting.
Yeah. Interesting. We will hopefully see you again in a future podcast.
I would hope so.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.